Thank you, choir. You always add such inspiration to our messages and mornings. If you would rise now as you are able for the gospel lesson. It comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. You have an insert in your bulletin that has the scripture on it, if you would like to follow along. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of the healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still one other, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. Wonderful to see so many of you here today. And I know that many of you know our speaker. She was very blessed this morning. So many of you came up and spoke with her and gave some remembrance that you shared with her. So this lady is not new to this congregation. Our speaker today is someone that many of us know and love. Her father, Pastor Mark Putman, was our associate pastor from July 01 until June 08. Pastor Mark is now the executive pastor at Anderson Hills United Methodist Church in Anderson Hills, which is a suburb of Cincinnati. Sarah came to us as a high school sophomore and enrolled in Xenia Christian School, where she graduated in 2013. Her younger sisters, Abby and Allie, also attended as elementary and high school and middle school students there. Sarah graduated in 2013 from Xenia Christian School, which was what Legacy was called at that time. While Sarah was still in college, she and a few years after, she and her two sisters were the singers for our faith community Sunday contemporary services, while her sisters' husbands provided the instrumental accompaniment. And for a span of time, Sarah's sister, Allie, was our church financial officer. The youngest sister, Abby, is still a beautician. And at the time that she was here with the music program, she began what was called a prom ministry that provided professional hair care, makeup, and obtained prom dresses for underprivileged young women so they could attend the Xenia High School prom. And so those are just a very few of the many, many things that the Putmans did for this congregation. Sarah graduated from Cedarville University with a degree in middle childhood education. She began her career by teaching at a Cincinnati Christian school, which led her to become involved in leading contemporary worship. She left teaching to become a missions ministry assistant at Hyde Park United Methodist Church in Hyde Park, Ohio. In 2018, she graduated from Xavier University with a master's in clinical mental health. After graduating from Xavier, Sarah decided God was leading her to make a dramatic change in her life. So in January of this year, she moved to Romania. As many of the nations in Europe, This is a country that has evolved over thousands of years. After the First World War, the countries of Europe were rearranged to suit France, England, and Russia. Russia ruled Romania as a satellite until 1989, when Romania rose up in revolt, and they became a democratic parliamentary republic. The Romania we know today is bound on the east by the Black Sea, and the western area by Ukraine, Serbia, and Bulgaria. Romania has been a very Catholic country for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. And when Russia was in charge, of course, they wanted to remove all religion except their own communistic philosophy. Sarah speaks of the beautiful Russian churches that are still in the area and still have active congregations. Sarah had visited Romania 10 times before finally moving there in January. While there, she became smitten with a young Roma child. The Romas are one of the world's wandering people that does not have a home to call their own, and no country claims them. They are poor, uneducated, no employment opportunities, little or no medical care, and ignored by the rest of the world's countries. And so the Romas have few, if any, options open to them. Sarah is the living proof of the song, Sent Forth by God's Blessings, which in part says, God's grace did unite us, and love shall unite us to work for God's kingdom and answer the call. Sarah has answered the call. And so let us welcome Sarah Putman this morning.
I'm just going to steal this. Bună dimineața! Good morning. My favorite part about the introduction Anne just gave is that I apparently gave her some false information, and she made me 10 years younger than I am. I actually graduated from Xenia Christian in 2003, so my story timeline is going to make more sense if you know that piece of information. So she's correct. My life began, my life towards ministry and mission began when I moved here with my dad in 2001. And since that time, one of the things I've noticed when I talk to people about international missions is there are usually one of three responses. You have people who are super excited. It's, yes, world missions, call to the nations, let's bring Jesus to those who are lost. You have people who are like, oh, please don't notice me. I don't really want to talk about international missions because I don't know what to do with it. And then you have people who are very, very called to local ministry, to local missions, and to local service. And so you have kind of the whole gamut of people who have varying passions about international mission. I was the person trying to hide under a rock because I was a homebody, just didn't like to go to camp, didn't like to really spend long times away from my family and friends. My parents, those of you who know them, even those of you who don't, this is still true of them, were afraid that I would be the 40-year-old living in their basement who had never done anything with her life. Okay, so that's me. That's where we're starting from. I am here as a junior. This is the first major move of my life. In hindsight, best thing that could have happened to me in the time, very, very difficult. So I graduated from Xenia Christian in 2003, went to Cedarville for education, graduated in 07. My junior year at Cedarville is where I would say for sure the first part of my call came. And this is how I know I'm the person hiding under the rock. So Missions Week at Cedarville, we have, sure they still have, but we had people come in and they just talked about missions wherever they were. And I honestly cannot tell you anything about this woman except that she changed my life. No idea what her name was, no idea where she's doing missions, nothing. But what I do remember is that as she was talking, she passed out these papers and said, if you're willing to tell God you will go wherever he calls you, sign this paper. And I don't know how many of you have had similar experiences, but there's just this like knot in the pit of your stomach. It's like, ugh, that's me. And so I signed this paper. It was was not my most faith-filled moment. I signed it out of obedience, and I left thinking God was calling me to be hot, hungry, and miserable for the rest of my life. God did nothing with that call for 4 years. I graduated from Cedarville, got a job teaching at Miami Valley Christian Academy in Cincinnati, was teaching math of all things. It's not like I was teaching world religions or anything. I was teaching algebra. And my second year there, there was another woman that I was co-teaching a class with who had been going to Romania, just her and her family, during the summers to do mission work. And so it was probably February of 09, and I'm literally doing the dishes at my house. So this is not like Moses burning bush moment or any of these. I'm washing my dishes because they were dirty. And God says, I want you to call Sean and tell her you're going to go to Romania. And I said, okay. So I called, got on the trip for that year, and you cannot convince me that it wasn't because I said I would go 4 years ago, that it was this seamless, okay, I'll go. And so I started what I thought was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And God just chuckled to himself and didn't say anything about it. So I get to Romania in 2009. I met this little Roma boy who was 3 and a half at the time. He's 14 now. I don't know how that happened. And fell in love with him. So he has Down syndrome, and he's part of a organization that is just like daycare for the Roma. The Roma live in poverty, almost exclusively. They're all living in poverty, and they are not trusted. Because they're known for stealing, they're known for cheating, they're known for not doing their work, and so people don't hire them. But because they don't get hired, they have to steal, and they have to be dishonest. And so it's this vicious cycle. So she's set up, my friend Rachel has set up this center for ministry there. And that's where my first 6 years of ministry in Romania started. In 2013, once again, God likes to be very clear. No, he's not very clear. He's very clear in the next step for me. And so in 2013, he told me that we were done teaching. And I said, great, what are we going to do now? He did not seem to feel the answer or feel the need to answer that question. So I said, okay. And I did not renew my contract for 2014. I was not unhappy as a teacher. I just, God said it was time to go. And I said, well, all right then. That's going to be in my best interest. And so I left teaching, went to Romania that summer, started having conversations because I was kind of interested in therapy, mental health, counseling, and thought maybe there was going to be kind of this tie between my interest and my great love in Romania. And my friends are, you know, this is really something we need here, but it's not something that the Roma are ready for. They're not going to come, you know, on a full-time basis and talk with you because that's not where their culture is. They need lots of more education kinds of things, so we could maybe do seminars, but we don't have a full-time position for you here. So I said, okay, continued praying into that, started my master's plan program, and a woman at Hyde Park, that's where I was working at this time, who considers herself the networking queen of all things. You know those people who just like, oh, you two should go together, you'll make a difference for the world, let me just introduce you to, this is her. And so she knew that I had a love for Romania, and she noticed that some of her friends from a church in Columbus were going to go to Cluj-Napoca. I had been going about 3 hours east on the Hungarian border, inside Romania, but right on the border the last 6 years. So she's like, hey, maybe go network, meet some new people, talk about counseling, see if maybe they know some other people. And I was like, all right, I mean, that sounds like God. And so I went in February of 2016 with a group of people I'd never met before in my life. Remember, I'm homebody, don't really like, I like things I know. So I go with these people I've never met before in my life to a place I'd never been before in my life to work with people I'd never met before in my life. Like, well, this is God, because this is not something I would have elected to do myself ever. And the first day there, we were having dinner, and the pastor of the church, so this is a United Methodist church in Cluj. There are three in the entire country of Romania. And so there's one in Cluj, and he said, without knowing me at all, it is my dream to start a counseling center in conjunction with the church. And I said, Jesus, this is it. this is where I'm going to move. So the last 3 years have been me sort of creating partnerships between people here and people there, me finishing my degree, figuring out kind of where things were going to go and how I was going to fit in there. So in January of this year, I moved to Cluj and spent eight months there prior to coming back for a visit. And I'm still in this period of sort of things are changing, right? And so while I've been doing some work with a group there who works solely with the orphans from infancy through aging out of the system, Alpha Group is what it's called, and their sole mission is to work with the orphans. Romania historically and still currently has an orphan crisis. There are still 58,000 orphans nationwide, and it's a population of just under 20 million people. So we've got a lot of orphans, and the way that the system works is that many of them are not adoptable because their parents haven't actually given up rights to them. And so they never see their parents, they live in the centers, they live in orphanages, but they cannot be adopted by a family because their parents still hold the rights. And I honestly do not understand this at all. But it's what we have, it's what we're working with. So one of the programs that we've set up is called Soul Families. And basically, it's everything shy of legally adopting these kids. You get paired with a family, and basically you become part of that family. So you can go on vacation with them, you can spend the nights with them, they can pick you up from school, you eat dinner with them, and it's based on family dynamics, so you have varying levels of involvement. But it gives these kids some stability and some people who are consistent in their life. I am currently working with what's called the RASA Project, which is for kids who are aging out of the orphan system. So usually between 18 and 22, whenever they stop going to school, they're given some money and ushered out the door. And what usually happens is these kids spend all of their money on phones and watches and shoes, and then they have nothing. So they live on the streets or fall into prostitution or succumb to suicide, things that are not what we want for them. So the RASA Project is set up to try and teach independence. These kids have been given everything their whole life from very, very well-meaning people. Including the government. So we want to take care of our kids. We will give them the things that they need. But they've never been required to do chores or to understand that you hold on to a relationship even when it gets hard. So conflict resolution, things like this, have never been part of their life. And so there are some skills that are very, very much lacking. And so we're seeking to kind of fill in some of those skills that they might then be able to live independent lives. And while I'm doing this, I'm currently helping to lay the groundwork for this counseling center, which will start with some of the teenagers who are currently orphans. Priority one, unfortunately, is I need to speak Romanian, and that has been a bear. I am fortunate that it's at least the fifth Romance language, so it's very similar to Italian, Spanish, those kinds of things. It's not like Bulgarian that has, like, the number three as a letter, and I don't understand how that works at all. So I'm thankful for that, but it's just been difficult for me to pick it up because I'm a visual learner. And so I've found a system that works for me now, but it's been slow. So hopefully by this time next year, I will be fluent, or at least fluent enough, to do some therapy work with these kids, and then kind of just see where things go from there. My point, as I've been reflecting over my story my whole life, because I'm still in process, right? But as I think back over our scripture this morning, that there are different gifts given, I also am reminded that God knows who we are. And so there are different methods of the call. So Moses responds to a burning bush and immediately has to go to Pharaoh. I have been responding to small opportunities my entire story long. The first opportunity was, will you sign this piece of paper? The second one was, you want to maybe go for a month with this huge group of people that you already know and just see what Romania is like? The third was, okay, you really have an affinity and an admiration for this boy. Do you want to go see him again? And then it was, I think we need a new degree. And so this story just keeps going. And the God of our fathers is also the God I follow. But he knows me. And he knows that a burning bush would terrify me and I would hide under a rock. If he told me the whole story 10 years ago, okay, Sarah, here's what we're going to do. Because so often I think that's what I want, right? I want the whole story. Where are we going? Show me the end. But I can tell you right now, if he had told me the whole story, you would still have to come visit me on Cedarville University's campus because I would be under a rock. Literally. There is no way in the world I'm moving to Romania. Where is that? That's a country? Like, it's not like top 10 countries you've heard of, right? Like, okay, yeah, as you say it, I remember it, but if I were to sit and list countries, it would be the 100th one I remembered. So it's not this place that, like, I know of, or I'm really familiar with, or know what the culture or the language or the people are like. No, thank you. I'm good. But God also knows that my heart is to be obedient and to be in service and to be who he wants me to be, knowing that his plan for my life is what's best. And so having all of these things in his knowledge and in his pocket, he leads me one step at a time. And so I wonder how many people sitting here this morning have a small opportunity laid before you. What might that be? Maybe you're called to local missions. Maybe you're called to ministry in your workplace. Maybe you're called to international missions and you need to come move with me and live with me because that'd be great. I need some more Americans. Maybe you are raising a family. You know, the list goes on and on and on, but God knows each one of us, and he knows where we are, and he brings the opportunity that is specifically for us so that we can fulfill our calling. And while mine includes international mission, maybe yours does too. Maybe it doesn't. The gifts, the callings, the opportunities that each of us have vary from person to person. But the end goal of loving the people of God is the same. And so as you think through your life and where you find yourself right now, is there an opportunity that's sitting before you that you might be ignoring because it seems small and insignificant? Signing a piece of paper does not take a lot of effort. But it's the starting point of everything that comes next. Because as we say yes to one thing God calls us to, he then adds the next level of the call. And he waits until you're ready to be obedient there. But he knows you're ready far before you know you're ready. So it's not something that you need to have this intellectual understanding of, I'm ready. When the opportunity comes, trust that it's come because you're ready. And then see what God does next. I don't know how many of you have ever given messages or taught or preached, and then you just sort of start feeling like you're talking to yourself in like a I need to hear this message way. And you're like, well, hopefully they get something, but okay, clearly this is for me. And so I'll be honest, this morning, this is what I need to learn. Everything I've already learned and am telling you is what I need to learn. As I go back to Romania, there are seasons of feeling lonely because Americans are very hard to find and Romanians are lovely, lovely people, but they have their own lives. But it's the being faithful in the small things. The phone call from a friend who says, hey, can we get coffee? Seems insignificant, might change the world. I don't have to know that. I don't have to see where it's going. I just have to respond in faithfulness, knowing that the entire world is our mission field. Every single heart, every single person is loved by God and is an opportunity for us to take the gospel, to take the good news, to take redemption and encouragement to his people. and you don't have to know the outcome before you say yes. So my encouragement for us this morning, including me, is to ask for the ability to see the opportunities and the strength to say yes. Will you pray with me? God, thank you that you know each one of us. Thank you that for those of us who are stubborn and unwilling, but longing for something more, Lord, thank you that you bring a 2x4 into our lives. And for those of us for whom that would crush our spirit, Lord, thank you that you gently whisper. Thank you that you have burning bush moments and you have still small voices. Lord, I ask that your spirit would continue to work among your people in this space. Lord, that you would call forth by name everyone into whatever their next step is, Lord. You have plans, you have purposes, you have spaces for us to engage in the ministry, life-changing work of Jesus. And so, Lord, we say yes, that is who we want to be. Show us what that means. Lord, show us in ways that we understand your voice for the first time or the 100th time. Lord, and then give us the courage to ignore the fear and step forth. Lord, to sign on the dotted line, to make that phone call, to encourage a family member to have that difficult conversation or to move halfway across the world. God, you are the God of it all. And we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, complete your work in us. May you be proud of all that we are and all that we do. For it is for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.